Yeah, you can't do a freedom series without a little William Wallace, right? Without a little Braveheart. Did you hear what he said? He said, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Never take our freedom. And we're in this new series called Freedom, and it's just really a study of Galatians. And Paul, the whole book is about freedom, not necessarily that external freedom that William Wallace is talking about, but Paul is talking about that eternal, that internal freedom that comes from a personal forever relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why our theme verse throughout the series is Galatians 5, 1 and 2 that says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." This book, Galatians, is such an incredible book because right at the heart of what is now modern-day Turkey, Paul plants this church, this great church, and right after he leaves, some Jewish Christians who had really not got their doctrine grounded comes behind Paul and starts telling these new Gentiles, these new Gentile Christians, that they weren't doing something quite right. And so Galatians is this corrective letter to the church on how to stay free, how to keep the right perspective of the gospel. Galatians was written, therefore, to refute the Judaizers, the extreme Jewish Christians, and call believers back to the pure gospel, that the good news is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else. Nothing else. And so last week we began and we looked at Galatians 1, 6 through 7, and it, you know, where Paul was saying, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel," which is really, Paul says, which is really no gospel at all. So we talked about those two choices last week, and I'd love for you to go back and listen to that if you weren't here, but that when you choose the right gospel, there's an internal desire where you really want to live your life for God, and it is motivated by your love for Him. The other gospel is not life-giving. It's all about rule-following. And so we kind of looked at the differences last week, that the right gospel is all about Jesus versus being all about me, my desires, right? It's receiving His love versus me trying to always earn His approval or to get His approval. It's internal desire versus external stuff. And we experience that freedom by choosing to fall in love with Jesus every day, choosing life instead of death and freedom. So this morning, we're going to jump into Galatians 2, and Paul's continuing this thought with them and continuing to tell them to come back to the right gospel. Even, you know, in this passage here, he even begins to go back and talk about when him and Peter, you know, had this kind of argument about it, you know, that Peter even got this wrong. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians 2. And we'll start in verse 11 this morning. I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase, but you can read in your translation, whatever you have. You can follow, I'm sure. Verse 11, it says, "Later, when Peter came to Antioch," this is Paul kind of explaining it to the church, "he said, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Here's the situation. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, the church of Jerusalem, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. But when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously begins to pull back and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that has been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was swept along in the charade." And Paul's saying, hey, you know, you gotta keep from going back to that old way. And how do we do that? How do we keep from going back to that old way of living? I don't know about you, but I struggle with that, right? I struggle with that, you know, every day, every week. Even this past week, I'm pulling up to a red light, and I'm listening to worship music, and, you know, everything's great. I'm thinking about this message about freedom, right? And I'm talking it out loud, and the light turns green, and the car in front of me is not moving, and I can see that they're on their phone, right? But I'm not a horn blower, right? I don't know. How many of you in here are horn blowers? Yeah, that's what I thought, because you're always blowing your horn at me, but I'm not a horn blower, and it drives my kids crazy. Dad, that's what the horns are for. Use the horn, right? But I'm trying to be like Christ. I'm not, you know. But then the guy behind me begins to blow his horn, and he's thinking it's me, and I turn around, he's giving me all this stuff, you know, like, it's not me, right? And so I get frustrated. I'm going, is it him? You know, so I lay on the horn, right? All right. You know? Just that quick, right? I go from praising the Lord to in the flesh in a second. And so this message is dedicated to every one of us that struggle with getting pulled back into that old way of living. Yeah, we feel the tension of living this life full of God to going right back into our old religious, judgmental, can't really live it kind of life, right? So how do we keep from getting pulled back? It begins with really understanding the gospel. And so Paul, once again, he re-explains the gospel. Look in verse 16. He says, we know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping only, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it. We had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. And then in verse 19, he says, what actually took place is this. Paul says, I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. God's man. Do you feel the tension there? And I really believe that most of us have chosen the right gospel, but we have those days where we switch right back to the other gospel and we let go of the freedom God has for us. And we begin to go, you know, money, is there an answer, right? Is there? Yes, there is. And it's found, I think, in verse 20. Paul kind of begins to reveal to us this secret of not being a lawman, a religious man, but being a God man. And look in verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so this morning, I want to remind us, and we're going to look at that. Sometimes, all the time, powerful life, this freedom that we've been talking about, comes from death. It comes from living the crucified life. That what Jesus demonstrated to us on the cross is that death is not the end for those who know and believe in Jesus Christ. Death is a means to life. By giving himself for us, Jesus Christ paved the way for life to come to all of us. And it's when we surrender to his purposes and his will that we begin to discover what it really means to live. To live. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 16. He's having this conversation with his disciples, telling them that he's about to go to the cross. You know, he's going to be crucified. And they're going, no way, man. And Peter says, you will not do that. And if you remember the passage, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He calls Peter, Satan, get behind me, Satan. Right? You're keeping me from what God is calling me to do. And then, you know, in verse 24, he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, and we talked about this last week, right, must deny themselves and take up their cross. That, you know, him talking about the cross, it was the most horrific form of execution ever in the history of mankind. And so the disciples would have got this and said, well, a cross. I mean, it wouldn't be like, oh, you know, we're going to carry our little cross necklace. No. You know, they understood because the streets were lined sometimes with people that are being crucified for going against the Roman Empire. And so they begin to catch this. You know, we thought we were going to have comfort in your kingdom, and now you're talking about a cross? He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Will find it. And Jesus makes this radical call on our lives this call to come, follow him, and to live a crucified life. Jesus Christ went to the cross not to just die, but he knew through his death we could have life. That if you want the abundant, powerful life, freedom life, you must follow him, Jesus Christ, to this crucified life. One of the things that the senior high kids get to do and our young people get to do when they go on mission trip to Eagle Rock there at the end of the week, just as a way to celebrate and have a great time, they get to go over to, we drive down to Ocoee, the Ocoee River there in Tennessee, and go whitewater rafting. And so I think I've been on the water, on that water, probably 24 times, maybe more. And so I think I could guide people down that river, really. I think I could be one of the guides. You think I could be one of the guides? No, they're saying no. But anyway, we're gathered there, right? We're gathered there getting ready, getting prepared. And one of the guides, she comes and she begins to tell us, you know, what we need to do, how to, you know, what not to do, what to do, you know, how to stay safe. And then she says, you know, when you, you know, if you get into the white water, you know, she says, just, you know, give up, point your feet down, you know, upstream and let the current kind of pull you out. Don't, you know, don't fight. You know, even if you get into like a hydraulic, you know, it's where two waters come together and they create this thing like going down a drain in your bathtub, right? And it has this pulling power. And, you know, she's saying, don't fight that. Give up. And it will just spit you out and point your feet that way and the current will pull you out. And it's kind of like, yeah, right. I mean, I've been in that white water. You know, I understand that what she's saying, that ain't right. That ain't, that, you know, to, you know, you're in a dilemma. You're about to die, right? I need to breathe. Well, you know, and you get in that river and you get, you know, get in the fight. She said, don't fight it. I mean, that's kind of the same thing that the airplane attendants kind of tell you, right? You know, you're about to crash. Put the mask over your nose and breathe normally. You need to change that verbiage, right? It's something like that. It's the same kind of instructions. That the more you fight, the more grabbing power the hydraulic has. And so what you have to do is you have to give up. Then the hydraulic will spit you out and down the current of the river. That the key to life in that situation is to surrender to the current. And if you yield to the current, it will lead you out. And most of the time, most, I love that word, right? Most times to life. Well, one of our students, Raf, got to experience that. Right, and so this is some pictures of them in their raft. This is Kayla Ammerman, and I think that's Anna Kate, Lauren on the front there riding the bull, and it's Abby and it's Scott and Ben. Yeah, Ben's hiding in the back. They had the wildest, you know, leader of any of guides of any of them, and they kind of acted like we want to be wild, we want to be crazy. Famous last words. So let's show the next one. Here they go. Now watch their guide here. Keep going. One more. He says, I'm going to jump up out of this thing. Look at him. Look how high he is above the raft. All right, one more. Is that unbelievable? Right? What's he doing? He's leaving them to die. And sure enough, later down that river, they flipped that raft upside down, and every one of them, even the guide, was in the water. Like, what do you do? You know, and they're going, give up. No, they're fighting. They're trying to get in. We actually picked Kayla Ammerman up on the side. She was hugging a rock, which you're not supposed to do. We throw her in our raft. And so I always think about that, you know. What Jesus, and I think Paul is trying to say, is that through Jesus' death and resurrection, if you want to fight against God, i.e., I can make it by myself, I can figure it out on my own, I can take care of it in my own strength, I don't need any help, God. If you try to struggle against God, you will end up destroying your life. You have to recognize that God wants to lead you to life. If you will submit your life, surrender, yield your life to the power of God's hand, to the truth of God's word, to the current of God's purposes for your life, that he will lead us on to this, to the living, the power, the abundance, the freedom, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a discipline that he calls us to. And I've said many times before, it's a radical call. It takes a radical response. This isn't a message that you want to give to add people to your church, right? No, this is a message about growing and going deeper to a place that is radical. And if you do, it will change your life forever. And so here's the enduring principle. It's this powerful life, this freedom that Paul is talking about, comes from death. And I think, you know, some of you will walk away this morning and say, wow, I didn't realize that the Christian life was so challenging. I thought you just prayed a prayer and, you know, and everything was good. I didn't realize that you have to give up everything. That if I become a Christian, I'm not going to be able to do all that I want to anymore. And if that's your thoughts, if that's where you go immediately, let me just say you're kind of misreading the heart of God. Because God is a giver and not a taker. And what God is saying to all of us this morning is, listen, I want to give you abundant, meaningful, purposeful living. And the only thing I would ever ask you to give up are the things that keep you from receiving what I long to give you. Powerful life, this freedom life, comes from death. It did for Jesus, and it will for you and me too. It does it for us in salvation. When we put our faith in what Jesus did and are forgiven for our sins and are given the gift of eternal life. But the power of life from death, this freedom life, also works in our life when we daily submit to God's plan for our lives. And so how does that happen? Because I think all of us, we really want to sometimes to change our situation, right? But God wants to change us. We all have tough stuff going on in our lives, and I still pray for some of the things to change in my life just like you do, right? But at the end of the day, if you want freedom and a full life, it's not about the situations changing. It's about you changing. It's about you changing. And in order for there to be change and freedom, something has to die. Something has to die. Romans 6, Paul writes it this way. For we know that our old self was crucified, there it is with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. This is probably the message I've shared more than any to students and here probably as well, but I so want us to get this, to really begin to understand and what this art of dying well is all about. How do we live this crucified life? So I'm going to share with you three ways this morning, but I'm also going to give you three action steps. Sometimes I don't add this to this, but I want to give you some practical things that you can do, some action steps that you can take. The crucified life is mentioned three times in three places in Galatians. So we're going to walk through those three places there in Galatians. The first place is, again, this, Galatians 2:20, which we read earlier, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I write it this way. I have to die daily to my selfish desires. I have to die daily to my selfish desires. What does that mean? What does that mean to come and die to ourselves? Not to think that, you know, we're the boss, we're in charge, that we know what's best for us. But to say there is a greater God who made me and I want to yield to his purposes for my life. To give up to having to be in the driver's seat, to getting my way, to being in charge, to having to be happy all the time, to being comfortable, understood, and first. To die to self and let him have total control of my life. Dying to my plan and my will and surrendering to his plan and his will. His purpose, that will lead to powerful abundant living. Paul got that, right? And he knew that there was this tendency to get pulled back to that old way of living. And I get it too, right? I get pulled back. And so I have to wake up every morning, right, and have an attitude check. Make sure that I'm having the mindset of Jesus Christ. And so I just kind of start with every part of me, right? And I've shared this with you before. I start with my heart. And I just pray Psalms 51, right? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and give me a willing spirit to sustain it. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will come back to you. God, give me this pure heart, a heart that's committed to you. Then I go to my mind, right? And I've shared this with you before. I just say, God, help me to take captive every thought and make it obedient to you. To think on those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And, you know, if anything is excellent and worthy of praise, think about those things. Anything that I have heard or received or learned or heard from him or seen in, Paul says, practice those things and the God of peace will be with you. And then I go to my eyes. Father, help me to put a guard over my eyes so that I might not sin against you. Job 30, 11. A guard so that I won't look lustfully at a young woman. Put that guard over my eyes. Let me have your eyes, Jesus. Eyes of compassion. Harvest eyes. And then I go to my mouth. God, do not let any unwholesome word come out of my mouth, but only what builds other people up according to their needs so that may benefit those who listen. And then I go to my ears. Isaiah says, whether I turn to the right or to the left, that I will hear a voice behind me say, this is the way, walk in it. God, give me those kind of ears to hear some things. Let me be able to be intentional about listening to your voice. Turn away from the voice of the world or the stranger. My hands, let them do good to people. My feet, Father, take me to places you want me to go. You say in your word, you take the steps of a good man and they're ordered by the Lord. God, give me those divine appointments, those ordered steps. And that prayer seems to be only good for about 24 hours. Why? Because I have a tendency to go right back into the wrong gospel. And so I have to go and live out John 3:30, where John the Baptist says he must become greater and greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And so here's the action step to dying to your selfish desires. Here's the action step: humility. It's humility. Here's what I've discovered over my many years: that a person on their face can't fall. I mean, what would your life look like if you started that way each day? You probably wouldn't come into the kitchen barking out orders, right? What if you were this man or woman that was living this crucified life and that the life of Christ in you is going to be the power source in your life? Die daily to self so that you won't miss the abundant life that Jesus wants for you. You must be the person that people would say, wow, he or she is living a crucified life. Totally yielded to God's power, God's plan, God's wisdom, his leading, his controlling, his purpose, his name, his agenda, his kingdom. It takes humility. The second place that Paul mentions the crucified life is in Galatians 5:24. And it says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And so I write it this way: I have to die daily to my sinful nature, to my passions and my desires of the flesh. You know, the world tells you to trust your desires and passions. It's who you are, right? Just trust your desires and your passions. No. You don't have to accept your passions and desires as your predisposition or your orientation. The world tells you that that's just who you are, so go with it. It's your orientation. No. Listen, I don't live by my feelings. I've got desires that go against God's word. And to say I'm going to live by my feelings because that's just who I am, no. I live according to God's word. I'm going to die daily to my sins, to my desires. And here's the action step. Choices. Choices. To live by choices, not by feelings. To live by principles, not pressure. To live out your convictions that come from God's word. I've said this to you before, but some people come up to me and say, Monty, what's your opinion on so-and-so, about so-and-so? And I'll usually say, I don't have opinions. I have the Bible. And that's how I live. And I get it. That's hard, right? That's hard. Yes. But there's freedom on the other side of that. There's freedom. Choices. I love Joshua, one of my heroes in the Old Testament, and he says this, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Joshua takes a stand. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will choose to serve the Lord. To follow God's word. To die to the lie that there's a sinful lifestyle out there that is going to meet the needs of your hearts. You know, it's not just a call or a sermon that says don't sin anymore. It's not really what Paul is saying here. And I sometimes believe, you could do without another stop sinning message. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't have sex before you're married. We need less, and this is my opinion, we need less stop sinning messages and more start dying messages. To yield your life to God and start dying to the lie of sin. It's the crucified life. It's not easy. Takes choices empowered by your God. The third place it mentions is in Galatians 6:14. It says this, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so I write it this way. I have to die daily to the world's way. That the secret to this life-giving freedom that God wants me to live in. What I need is to have a kind of a world filter. If that makes sense. A world filter. Where I can't let this stuff in my life, right? I'm not going to do that or go there. Listen, you're not going to enjoy freedom if you let others tell you how to live your life. Or if you let the world tell you how to live your life, or let the world tell you how to live in a marriage, what marriage is all about. You have to have that world's filter that filters all that mess out so that you can know the truth. You say, well, Monty, how do I know? Again, let me say this. You don't need me telling you what is right or wrong. All right? You've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got a Bible. Listen, we are physically incapable of staying in the world and living in the freedom that comes from Christ. You can't do both. Paul says, I crucify the world to myself. And so here's the action step. The action step is separation. Separation. That I make a break from the world. And again, you don't need me to tell you where that line is. But you better have a line. You don't even tell me, if I'm in, if this is sin, or you just know, and you better have a line. You want to say every day, less of me, and more of Jesus. Instead of staying as close as I can to that line, no, I'm going to say less of me, more of Jesus. I'm going to get as close as I can to Him. Because sin is powerful. Satan is alive. And he will deceive you. And you'll think you're still on the right side. And before you know it, he'll reach out those tentacles and kind of just drag you in. And so if I'm not going to live the world's way, I've got to say more of Jesus. And on those days where everything inside of you wants that forbidden fruit, and you want to listen to those feelings, you better not. You better get into the Word of God and make a choice. Better yet, come out from that. Just separate yourself from that stuff. 2 Corinthians, Paul says it this way in chapter 6, verse 17. He says, therefore come out from them, talking about the world, and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Separation. So it's humility, choices, and separation. How about you? Are you ready to respond to the crucified life of Jesus by saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God who gave everything to me. And so everything I have, I surrender to you. I will die daily to my selfish desires. I will die daily to my sinful nature and to the world stuff so that Christ can live in me. Do you have the courage to respond that I believe, God, that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that powerful living, this freedom that Paul is talking about, comes through death? Jesus, through the story of the gospel, says, listen, I love you unconditionally. You matter to me no matter who you are. I forgive you no matter what you've done. And Jesus says, I have the authority to say, come follow me. And I will lead you to life, to freedom. To freedom, right? You know, every time we do baptisms, we celebrate those new lives, right? It's the greatest privilege that I get to stand in there and just see God do His miracle work through the waters of baptism. This miraculous pattern of death, burial, and resurrection. And I don't know if you hear me when I say this, but, you know, whenever I put them under the water, you know, I talk about being buried with Christ in crucifixion, right? Dying to self and sin and stuff. Being buried with Christ in crucifixion and raised to walk, to live in newness of life, a new creation in Christ that brings freedom, brings powerful living. And I just love that. But even greater than that is that you and I, we get to experience that every day of our lives, if we surrender to the miracle of God, as we die daily, He will raise us up and give us His strength, His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His self-control, to live in a life that has power and freedom to it. And for that miracle, I am so grateful. And so that's my challenge to you this morning. It's a radical call, and it really takes a radical response to be willing to die so that, like Paul, you can live as Christ lives in and through you. Pray with me, please. You know, with every head bowed and really just every eye closed, just I say that so that you can just have a place that you can draw a circle around you, so that you can just really push out the distractions and really listen to God speaking to your heart this morning. So there in your space, I just want to ask you to be still and know that God is here. And my question is, what is your response to Jesus' call, to Paul's encouragement to live this crucified life? And so maybe right there where you sit, just symbolic of saying, okay, here's what I need to do right here. You can just turn your hands over. Your palms up, just in a surrendered place. And maybe for some of you, it's to die daily to your selfish desires, right? To always having your way. To always putting your needs above others, instead of putting others' needs above yourselves. And so this morning, the response is, God, I surrender that selfishness to you, that pride, that always having to be about me kind of stuff. And I humble myself before you, God, and I give it my life, my selfishness, my desires, I give them to you, God. Dying daily to your selfish desires, God, because I want to make sure that I live this abundant life that, Jesus, you want for me. For others, maybe it's, dying daily to a sinful nature that seems to hold on to you. To that voice that says there is life outside of Christ. And so maybe there's some sin that you keep falling back into. This sin nature is in you, and you today need to surrender and to die to that. That sin that separates you from a holy God. And just ask Him to help you to choose. God, help me to choose to die daily to my sinful nature. And God, let the life of Christ in me be where my power and my strength and my freedom comes from. May it be the source in my life. Maybe for others, you turn your hands over and it's dying daily to the world's way. That you seem to always get deceived or pulled back into the world's way of doing life. That you allow the comparison of others and what the world says is the way you should live begin to confuse you. And this morning you just turn your hands over and you say, God, I surrender. God, may I die to that desire to live the world's way. God, help me be a person that is totally yielded to your power, to your plan, not my plan, to your wisdom, to your leading, not the world's leading. Father, to your controlling, your purpose that you created me for. God, I surrender. I die daily so that your name might be glorified in my life, so that your agenda might be fulfilled. so that, God, you can use me to build your kingdom. Father, I pray that you hear the prayers of your people. And Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would come alongside of us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit's power, Father, that we might live this crucified life that will bring real life to each one of us. And that, Father, we would experience freedom. And because it comes through you, Father, we will be free. Really free. Free indeed. Father, may every prayer, may every surrender this morning be a sweet aroma to you, Father, and that you come in and you begin to be the power source for us to step into this new week, to live out our lives, the crucified life, a life that is full and abundant, has meaning and purpose, and that is free, God, because we're living it with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.